Hey, what's up? This is Amaya 4000 and you're listening to Pound Bag Radio, the show for people who want to learn shit, but not reading stuff. FM radio is dead. This is radio at 4000 horsepower, bitch. We're recording out of Portland, Oregon, or the greater Portland, Oregon area. And we're back. This is a relaunch to the 2012 Houston Press Music Awards Best Radio Show nominee, Dirtbag Radio, from back in the day. If you were into podcasting around 10 years ago, you probably remember us. If not, you're probably like, there were podcasts 10 years ago? The answer is yes, it was us. It's been 10 years, and now we're back. So the premise of this show, in case you didn't catch episode one, is following Amaya 4000, which is my alter ego, the person that comes out whenever I get super fucked up. I'm sure you guys have somebody, a name attached to that entity, you know? So yeah, this next episode is going to be brought to you by Funk Extracts. Make sure to check out funkextracts.com. They're our sponsor for the next couple shows here. We're going to be smoking something called Royal Feast. Again, I woke up right now, sober, haven't smoked at all day. We're about to get fucked up and then go into some topics here. And basically smoke the Royal Feast, see and study the effects of it on Amaya 4000. And that's the premise of the show. So we're going to take a little break real quick. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to come right back for you guys. It's going to sound like nothing, but from my side, I'm going to go smoke for like half an hour. So I'll be right back. Thank you. All right. I went and smoked and fell asleep. It is now 6.5 hours later and I had just woken up. So that didn't work out as planned. So we're going to try this again. We're going to try this one more time. Just woke up sober. I'm assuming this is the indica strain. Like I told you guys, indica's really hit me really hard. I smoked and passed out. So let's try this one more time. 6.5 hours have passed. And round two, let's go. All right. And we're back. And we're loaded. We're toasted. Again, this is brought to you by Royal Feast by Funk Extracts. Each episode is going to, again, focus on a particular strain. And me and you are going to have this phone-like conversation one way because I'm not going to be quiet. And these are the side effects. This is it right now. All right. So after the first show, I was like, man, what am I going to talk about? I have so much to catch up and like, how am I going to like keep track of everything that I have to say to catch everybody up and just to keep going, you know? So much has happened. The last time I did a show was like 2012 and it's 2022. It's 10 years. We were very pro cannabis back in the day. I think when we went off air, there was only two states that were recreationally legal cannabis states. It was Colorado and Washington, and that was it. Everywhere else, you had to have like a medical card to be able to buy stuff. And now I think there's only 13 states left where cannabis is illegal in some form. Everywhere else, it's like medical or recreational. So it's almost, and that's also one of the reasons I left Texas too. I felt like looking around, it was like 2018 when I left. I was looking around, I was like, man, I don't think they're going to legalize cannabis, dude. I'm tired of this shit. I could stand things if like weed was legal, you know? So I was like, man, I'm just going to move to Portland, dude. Fuck this. It's like there's mountains. There's weed. Maybe I could find a job at a dispensary or something while I'm going to school. And then by the time I'm done with school, maybe I have enough rapport there to like be a big part of everything, you know? So That's the plan so far. This is part of it too. Obviously, we upgraded the name from a dirt bag to pound bag. We kept the same little face. We made a little mascot called Poundy the Pound Bag. I'm staring at him right now. It's a little, what do you call it? Just a pillow, but it's like a picture of cannabis, because I'm a cannabis photographer right now, part-time at the Kings of Canna dispensary in Portland, Oregon. It's pretty cool. I get to take pictures of weed. They're all different. It's like being a photographer for flower. You know, like, yeah, what are you doing? Taking pictures of these roses and then putting them online so people could come to the grocery store and buy roses for their parents or some shit, right? So we do the same thing, but for cannabis. Different farms. The way it is up here. Well, let me do that. Let me just tell you guys what it's like working here at a dispensary, because it's a lot different. So, because I'm not in Texas. When I wanted to buy cannabis, it was like texting 3 or 4 people that I knew. And then if they didn't have anything on them, because it was a hit or miss. Sometimes people had stuff. Sometimes they'd be like, nah, I'm out. I'm waiting to re-up. And then when they did, they'd be like, yo, I'm ready. You know, like a couple days later or something like that, or a week later or something. Just hit them up again. Try again next time, you know. So it was weird. It was not consistent. I remember sometimes, like, my whole goal for the day was to re-up, just to get some more weed. Price-wise, Houston, I know I used to buy like 7 grams for like $100, $120 maybe. And the 7 grams, like, I didn't really have a choice in what strain it was or what it did. It was just like, here are 7 grams of hydroponic cannabis or weed or whatever, you know. We didn't call it cannabis. That's a big difference from Texas. In Texas, everything is still weed. You know, they'll ask me things like, hey, do you guys have hydro? I guess so. Yeah. Hydroponics, is that what you mean? Like, I mean, yeah, we got that. But they don't really know what that means. They're just like, somebody told them hydro. So they're just like, yeah, hydro. No cap. You know, it's like these new kids, they tell you stuff and you're just like, yeah, man, I don't know what the fuck you're saying, but sure. Just repeat it. So coming up here, the cannabis culture is different. Obviously, the lifestyle is different too. In Texas, I didn't realize how redneck Texas is as a whole, you know, because like I thought I was pretty. Everyone in Houston was like, oh, Maya, he's a hippie, dude. Fucking Third Eye Tribe clothing line or whatever. Yeah, he's fucking weird, bro. He's on some shit. But I still partake in like stuff like the rodeo. I don't know if you know this, but Texas still has a rodeo and it's fucking huge. It is humongous. It's like a big deal. I didn't know this till like after I left, but like I know some of my friends would be in like these rodeo committees, like people that would help run the rodeo, kind of like, all right, move the cows this way, or hot dog vendors set up over here. I don't know, you know, just like a bunch of, I thought it was volunteers that got chosen and maybe got paid, you know, so I thought that's what they want to do. I didn't know these people were paying like a fee so they can be part of the rodeo. That's insane. Can you understand what I'm saying? Like, instead of like, okay, imagine I'm trying to throw a festival, right? And instead of paying the workers, the workers pay me to help me build everything. And then they get to like be there when the shit goes down. I mean, I guess so. It was badass shit. I mean, that sounds like a scam to me, you know? Like, how'd you convince all these people? I thought everyone was getting paid. Apparently they're not. If you see these people that are like Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo volunteers, they're paying to do that. I did not know that. Or at least the people I knew were doing that. So that's not normal. Please let me know so I could tell my people, like, hey, man, you're paying a fee. I don't think you're supposed to do that. Who is the person that's, you know, I don't know, man. Houston has a bunch of like scam artists, dog. It's fucking crazy the amount of people or arguments I've seen online where like someone has a business, quote unquote, and they're just starting it or something. And I've seen a dance team take people's deposits and then like not return them. Shit, you know, get blasted online. With different companies, you know, trying to start out and it's not legit. And people end up missing money. I think I've seen like little kids football leagues and shit. Like the president was supposed to buy uniforms and helmets and he just went on a trip to Disneyland. It's not returning phone calls. Like, I don't know what's wrong with people that think they can. I don't know. Some people are crazy, dude. Like something's wrong with them mentally. I was trying to explain to my kids, I have kids and they're like in that age where like they got to like, you got to teach some stuff about society basically. Right. Trying to tell them like, hey man, I guess we should talk about the awareness, you know, like I know when I was going through school, there was like a special ed class, you know, which is fine. It's like, oh, okay. They need extra help to like interact with society or some of them, you know, like had Down syndrome, which is fine. You know, I'm not trying to talk bad about them, but like some people I remember like, hey man, you're just, yeah, you're happy. Just interaction wise, you just struggle really hard with that, you know? And, I remember one person that, I went through school with, and I remember her being a, like special ed and like, now she's a teacher. And I've talked to her and I remember her having extremely weird views, you know, about this topic where I was like, you're dumb. Holy shit. And then I remember, started clicking like, yeah, dude, I remember you're in special ed. Damn, you're a teacher now. Shit. So where are these people? You know, that's why I told my kid, like, you got to understand, like, people might look normal, but you don't know how dumb someone is behind that those fucking eyes, you know, like, no offense to anybody, but we have to interact with each other. Some people, like, you can't expect everyone to be at, like, a mental capacity where they understand your words. Some people are, like, have mental illnesses, you know, I'm always high, so you got to deal with that if you talk to me, you know. And that's what I kind of, living in Portland, I just suspect that everyone's high. I don't get mad because I'm like, yo, weed's legal here. And we live next to volcanoes. Like, you know, that story of Pompeii, that city of Pompeii that got blown up next to a volcano and ashes and shit. I thought, like, why don't those people fucking move if they knew the volcano was there? Like, that wasn't the first time it blew up. They knew what was up, you know, but they built the city and shit. And I feel myself like the same scenario because there's like Mount Hood over here and Mount St. Helens, which already kind of blew up in the 80s. Like all up and down Washington and Oregon, it's just like mountain, volcano, mountain, volcano. Like the mountains are volcanoes, you know, the big ones. And I'm here because I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Weed's legal. Pompeii, they probably had dispensaries and shit. And it was like, I don't know. That's what I'm assuming. Like, oh, we must have been legal in Pompeii. That's why they were there. I mean, that's why I'm here. You know? So working at this dispensary, it's a little different just because it's organized. It's like a business. It's like retail, like selling, like working at Old Navy and shit. You know? You start getting into those type of stuff, which is weird because we're dealing with cannabis. And as a customer, I don't think that really, you know, customers still have the option to go buy weed from drug dealers, you know, which I already complained about their customer service. It's something needs to be done about the drug dealers, customer service and product knowledge, you know, after, you know, dude, you're competing with dispensaries, bro. You got to give us an experience and shit. Have you gotten the cookies? You know, people go and like they have little bags and stuff. You know, I feel fancy. Like, yeah, you know what's in this bag? Drugs. I can't do that with the drug dealer stuff. You give it to me like in a sandwich bag, bro. It's 2022. Like, please step it up. Please just vacuum seal it for me or something. Or like, I don't know. I don't have that problem no more. That's why I moved to a legal state, you know. So working at the dispensaries, I ended up. So I'm not gonna lie. Trying to get into the dispensaries, for one, you have to have your permit. There's a permit you have to like handle the cannabis. There, I don't know how the other states are, but here in Oregon, it's controlled by the same people that do the alcohol. So I know in Texas, it's like TABC. So, you know, so like, it's kind of like going to a club. Like, you go into a club, they ID you at the door, and they might ID you again, the bartender, you know, just to make sure you're of age and shit before they sell you a drink. But yeah, I do that too. You know, I'm the door guy. I'm not like a bouncer, but I do have to deal with like people trying to use fake IDs or expired IDs, and old people don't understand that shit, dude. They're just like, oh, I'm above 21. Like, yeah, to buy cannabis, you have to have a legal ID. And it's only like these, like an ID, a license, like a military card. If you're in the military, you could come into the dispensary with your card. And one thing I think people don't understand, like, if people check your ID or to scan it, it's just to check that your ID is valid. We don't, there's not like a database where we keep everything and send it to your job. That's what I thought, honestly. The first time I started going to the dispensary, I was like, hey, if I buy things here, do you report to like the state? Like, hey, German Amaya bought weed here. That's straight up what I thought. So I know if I think that, other people think that too, probably, but no. The only people we got to track is like medical patients, because they get tax exemption, you know, tax free weed. And Portland, Oregon, actually the whole state of Oregon, it's I don't think you pay state taxes, like sales tax. So like if something's 99 cents, it's fucking 99 cents. There's no extra stuff. I mean, there's sometimes a little bit of fee for like debit cards or something like that, or a service charge, but there's no taxes. Which, coming from Texas, there's always a sales tax, you know. So that's a little bit cool. Here's no sales tax. There's legal weed. The weed has tax. The weed is taxed like at 20%. But there's so much of it, it's cheap as shit. I honestly don't see how the fuck people are making money. Like, I know they're hurting. I know the industry is hurting right now. Like, just to throw it out there money-wise. Okay, so this is one thing I found out about cannabis and the industry here. I thought that, say, if you have a dispensary, right? You bought a dispensary and I bought my own dispensary, and we're trying to like to buy weed from a farm, you know? I thought it would be like, you know, we go to Budweiser, we're trying to buy a keg. It's going to be the same price for both of us. It's like the same price, right? I would think so. But buying weed from a farm is like buying a car from a dealership. Like, yeah, we might both go buy Honda Civics, but like, we got to negotiate that shit ourselves. It depends on our relationship and our, not credit, but you know, just it depends. It varies. So there come some instances where maybe if you're friendlier with somebody or cool with somebody, you know, like they'll do favors for you over other people, even over money. Like, it's Oregon. It's not really about money. It's like about relationships. Like, yeah, we want to make money, but like, in Texas, it's all like, yo, I need to ball out, bro. Ball out so I can show out. Buy rims. And, you know, there's all these things you have to do as a Houston Texan to be cool. It's like, all right, well, got a house. I got to buy a car. I got to put rims on it. Obviously, I can't be a loser. They at least have to be 20-inch rims. Minimum. I think the minimum went up to 22 now. Now, if you have 20-inch rims, like, oh, you got the small ones. Spoke rims, depending on what kind of vehicle you have, you know. There's a lot of stuff just to like go out on a Sunday and hang out with other guys that have the same stuff and be like, yeah, we're from Houston, you know. Over here, it's a little different. Kind of that culture, what I just explained with the slabs and stuff like that, that's how they treat cannabis up here. So it's gone to the point where, like, I guess a lot of people come up here and they'll think like, oh, we'll just grow weed and someone will buy it. Like, no, there's too much of it. I forgot exactly how many, but there's like, I think like millions of pounds or something like that, that are excess. There's only 4 million people in Oregon. You know what I'm saying? Texas, Houston, Texas is 7 million, 7 point something. and then the whole state of Oregon, like there's, I mean, trust me, I've been trying to dent a hole in that excess as much as I can. And you can't. I get tired of physically inhaling and exhaling. That's how much, you know, it's a lot of it here. I remember when I moved here, we went to like Walmart and we were trying to like cash a check or something like that. So something in service. We sat down and there's like a nug of weed on the floor. Like, damn, it's just everywhere. Which is crazy, you know, but that's now it's like, whatever. The facade, not the facade, but like the, what's it called? The pomp and circumstance, I guess, of, you know, it's kind of wearing off a little bit. I still think it's cool as shit, but like a lot of people don't. No, it's just like, it's a lot of people treat it like, yeah, like we work at Old Navy, basically. Old, like some kind of retail store selling clothes. You know, which it is, like the way every dispensary has its gimmick. We try to really focus on customer service and shit. Like they told us, like, you guys are the Apple people, but a weed, like if someone asks you anything, you should be like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Which, you know, it's pretty cool to know stuff about weed and be able to talk about the products that we have. So you're just like a salesman. Like if you're a car salesman, it's the same thing, but you're like, you know your product specifically, you know? And you literally sell it. Like someone might go in there for a joint, like, all right, cool. Do you want anything else? There's like sodas, there's candy bars. Just like, you're literally just showing what's there, you know? And some people can sell, some people can't. It is like a tipping style. The way it's set up at the Kings of Canada, there's like a little U-shaped, it's a jewelry case, but it feels from the backside like a bartender type stuff. You know, like you're showing off all the weed. And, you know, people could, there's like sections, like there's a sativa section, an indica section. This is the high testing. These are the new arrivals. This is the budget section. And then you just be funny. Sometimes like, you know, budget, or we call it the bougie section instead of budget, just to make the person feel like. And then it's like, dude, $3 grams, $2 grams, you know, then there's like $5 eights now. And it's pretty decent stuff. It's not like shitty. Some places like, oh, we have this shake for that price. Like, no, these are buds, dude. This is flower because it's so cheap. They have the medical patients. Okay, so here's the difference between, say you want to come to Oregon, like, oh, what do I need to go buy some weed? Like, all I gotta do is be 21, have an ID and a valid one. And that's basically it, dude. Come in and then you have limits. You can't just buy like 10 pounds and shit. But there's like, you know, cause it's like saying, when you go buy alcohol, you don't buy 80 bottles at once. You know, it might be like, are you like, you own a bar, you should probably have some other setup besides, you know. And if you do sell alcohol without a license, you get in trouble, you know, something like that with the cannabis industry. So a recreational person, you could come in. Recreational means you don't have your medical license or nothing. You're not a medical patient. They're able to get a little bit more and they get no taxes charged, right? So if you come, you just say you just fly to Oregon, go straight to the dispensary, show them your ID. They're going to check it, make sure it's valid, not expired, you know, just to be compliant with the state laws, to be able to operate. And let you come to the back. They'll buzz you in. It's usually like a locked door between the front and the back. And then you come to the back and then they'll help you out, show you some stuff. And then your limits are, if you're recreational, you could get up to 2 ounces now. It just changed the beginning of the year. The limit was like 1 ounce a day, but now you could get 2 ounces. That means you could get 2 ounces today, come tomorrow, buy another 2 ounces, come tomorrow, buy another 2 ounces, come in, you know, and do that every day, and you are legally within your rights, you know. The weird part is though, you can't have that much on you, I think. Like if you're traveling, just have those 2 ounces. Don't be like, if you bought those all and then you're traveling with like 30 pounds, and that's a red flag. You know, that's not, you know, but legally you can buy 2 ounces, and like the dispensaries don't talk to each other, you know? So like in theory, if someone wants to like go and just buy from every dispensary, I mean, I guess it could do that, but just, yeah, I don't do that. Cause like I came here to buy, I'm only part-time at the dispensary. Right. So like, I'm there just to make like enough to like make ends meet. But like, if I save up enough money, I don't need to like work there. I'm just there for, I'm like a glorified customer, you know, like my whole paycheck goes, is what I'm trying to say. Like if I only get paid like $200-$300, $400. Okay. That's all going right back. Like as soon as I cash it, it's like, okay, that's my allowance. It's my weed allowance, you know, working there part time. That way everything else is like, okay, this is all for bills. This is my weed allowance. And yeah, so I am a glorified customer basically, because there's no profit. Like they know, hey, the more Maya works, the more he's going to buy. So it's not a good way to, I guess, work part time somewhere. Try to make profit wherever you work at. Don't be like me, but I'm just like, yeah. So if you're a medical, okay, that's just with the flower though. You still have additional, say if you wanted to get your maxed amount, what's the max I can do? Okay, cool. You're going to buy 2 ounces of whatever flower you want. By flower, I mean like weed, like cannabis, like the buds that you can grind and smoke, right? You can buy up to 5 grams of oil. That means like 5 cartridges or 5 grams of dab, you know. And this is not a or, this is and. So you get the flower and the 5 grams and up to a pound of, this is like weight of the product of edibles, or I think 1,000 milligrams, you know, total. 4,000 milligrams total. What that means is like, you can buy, say you want to buy Rice Krispie bars. Okay. You could buy a pound of Rice Krispie bars, or they have to be less than 4,000 milligrams, whichever one comes. So like they kind of limit you milligram wise. You can't just come and buy like the whole store. It's like, okay, how many Dorito bags can I buy? Like 12. 12 is going to give you this much cheese, so, you know, shit like that. So it's a little weird. So you can spend like legally $500-$600 at a dispensary and like you break no laws. Like, and I do that, but then I just go home and like smoke it, eat it and drink it, whatever. It's not, you know, it's a lot of people where I'm from would be like, yo, you can flip and do something. I was like, no, this is for me, dude. Like, why would you buy a Budweiser? Be like, you could flip that if you wanted to, like, yeah, or I could drink it. That's what I bought it for. Like, I could flip Coke cans, I guess, but like, I'm not trying to do that. I'm a consumer, you know, I'm a glorified customer with some privileges. I'm just showing you, trying to tell you guys the inside. So, it's interesting, man. I like working there. It's, I like showing off cannabis. I like talking about it. I like sales, you know. I used to sell cars for a while, and I like cars too. So it was pretty cool to be like power steering and these options and the way this, you know, this other shit, just showing off cars to people and they would buy them. That was pretty cool. So it feels like the same, but with cannabis. But I'm using like my graphic design. I went to school, or I'm going to school right now for graphic design. I'm doing a career change because I have like a back injury that ultimately led me to like move up here. There's a bunch of factors, you know, me moving. But it was one of them too. Just like, man, I got to do a career change. I think they pay more if I go to school up here than if I go to Houston. So I could probably go to school full time and then part time. Just like, I got my foot in the industry earlier than I thought I would. So getting the job was a little weird just because like I had searched for like looked online and, you know, dispensaries, some of them, a lot of them, I mean, they're like mom and pop businesses, you know what I'm saying? So the way the hiring process would just be like getting hired at a strip club or at a bar, you know, it's not going to be like that professional. No offense to anybody. It's just, you know, I got interviewed at NASA. So like, you know, compared to that, it's not that, like, you know, coming from the military, what to expect or whatever, or someone that's like, hey, I'm trying to make the move to the industry, what can I expect? Like, okay, for one, you got to go for it. You, it's not a for sure thing. A lot of people, I tried doing it too, where I was like, okay, I'll move to Houston. I'll try to get a job. Like, nah, dude, it's weird. Like, you can't get a job. You got to move first and then survive for like a month while you're looking for the job or whatnot. That's kind of what I tried doing. After a while, I ended up, you know, some people on the phones are like bad at texting and communicating and doing shit. I mean, I guess, again, I always assume we're all high, and that's why, you know, since I moved here. But there was someone I was supposed to meet when I moved up here, like a friend of a friend. But instead of saving the guy's name, he just saved his name. Like, say, hey, my friend Steve, he's in Portland. You should talk to him. Okay. I'm going to save his number. All right. And he doesn't save it under Steve. He saves it under his name. Like, say his name's Ramon or something, right? My friend Ramon's telling me, go talk to Steve in Portland. Sweet. And then I'm going to save his number. All right. So he saves a number that he puts Ramon. So I don't have the phone numbers memorized. I look, I'm like, why do I have Ramon a couple times? Dumbass. You probably drunk or something and save the whatever. So for a whole month, he's just like, contact my friend. And then I was texting him. I got mixed up. I don't know which Ramon was who. So I think I was trying to hit up his friend, but like, yeah, I'm in Portland. Like, you're in Portland, Ramon? It was like a big old fucking mix-up, dude. And it was always because my friend saved this dude's number under his own name instead of the guy's name. Instead of Steve, he put Ramon. Gammy Ramon. So then finally, I get a hold of this guy, and he's working at a dispensary. And, like, I was trying to look for a job already online. I think I used, like, Glassdoor.com. I'd send a couple applications or whatever, or, like, resumes. I didn't really hear a call back. A couple of them were weird. They're like, hey, meet me at this bar between 12 and 12:30. Come with your resume Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursday. It's like a scavenger hunt. I'm like, what? Which I was like, well, I guess that's what I'm going to do. But then I, you know, I ended up hooking up with my, the friend that they told me to hook up with. And so he was working at a dispensary. They were hiring. So I was like, hey, let me put an application in. I think they were looking for just like a couple days, like literally just 2 days, you know, which is like, yo, I can't work for 2 days. And I was like, well, I just need my foot in the door. I'm not trying to like make money like that. It's like, I mean, I guess I was, but you know, I just need my foot, whatever I could take right now. I got to like get this job and then get another dispensary job and work like two or three of them. Like I thought that's what I was going to be doing, to be honest with you. And so went on the interview. They asked me if I was available, and I was like, I got to check. I don't want to say yes. And then like I was going to school full time. Like that's what I've been doing this whole time. I've been going to school full time, like 12 hours every term trying. I did like 2 years, and I got an associate's now, and I'm trying to do a bachelor's in graphic design. And I think I'm in my senior year right now. I just got to do a couple classes and I'm done. So I'm just trying to start doing everything we're supposed to be doing. You know, that's why we're here. And all right. So working at the dispensary, the interview after I kind of checked it, I was like, yeah, I guess I could work here. I'm down. Started making videos using just like my cell phone. And gradually I just kept like looking at different techniques and other people's stuff. And I don't know how you guys are. I'm a type of person that like, I got to see other people doing stuff and I'd be like, okay. I think I could do that. Like I'd be like inspired or pushed by other people. Cause if not, I'll just chill here. And I think that's what's happened. That's why it took 10 years to do something, because Dirtbag Radio started straight out of spite, dude. You know, like me and the other host, Chizzy, were co-hosts from this radio show called The Men's View. And the actual host from that show had like some mental breakdown on live air. And that's why I don't like doing live shows anymore. Someone called in, or live caller, someone called in and said something, and the guy just took it wrong. And I think it was just because the dude was a dork and like he didn't understand the lingo of the caller. And he just had a meltdown, started talking shit to the caller. And we're like, whoa, 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 chill out. I thought it was like a skit at first, but I was like, no, he's being serious. He's upset, you know. And all the dude said was like, hey, make me laugh, funny boys. That's how he opened up. And the dude lost it, you know. So he started talking shit. And then so that's what pushed me to make Dirtbag Radio. And even with anger pushing me, it still took me like a year, you know, to like buy the equipment and, you know, figure out what to do and start and convince people. You know how hard it is to convince people to do a podcast when podcasting aren't a thing? Hey, man, do you want to come over to my house and just talk into a microphone? And pretend that we're on a radio show or something, you know? And people kind of did it at first. And then they started kind of like getting, I mean, the topics are funny, I think, you know? Got it popular and grew into what it did, right? So I hadn't had that push this whole time, you know, until I had Optimal Ram. Started doing his podcast, Just Got High With. You could actually find it on YouTube. He did a couple of them. I'm like, man, I have everything here, dude. I just don't have the time. I've just been really, you know, raising kids, taking them to school. I'm going to school full time and going to work part time and then working on design projects. Like I'm sitting on the computer, just drawing shit and making stuff. And it's a lot of time, you know? So like I didn't have the spare time. And so right now it's like, all right, this is my little break. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right now. We're going to try to keep this in the routine now very easily. Just one little hour of talking, you know, and get pump this out, you know. So, yeah, that's just the type of person I've been. I think even I figured that out in the Marines. I started noticing like, yo, you don't do shit until someone that's like right next to you do something that you know you're capable of. You just haven't done it because you're high. I'm like, oh man, why you gotta call me out for consciousness? I'm just trying to be stoned, bro. So I mean, I had everything set up already. I just started changing stuff. This class in the summer really helped me out, man. It takes weeks to do things. You think like, oh, it's gonna take 2-3 hours. I was like, that's why I'm not doing it, because everything's like small things here, 2-3 hours of this website, 2-3 hours of that website, you know, just like trying to set shit up and like organizing stuff. And like I didn't want to launch the radio show and not have merch for you guys like we did before, you know, like when we came out with t-shirts, it was a big deal. Now like, yo, there's like, you can make clothing and all this other crap. I'm trying to make stuff for you guys, you know. So yeah, so now we're doing this. We got pushed, so now we're doing it. So I'm looking for show hosts, co-hosts. You know, but my problem is I got a lot of people that want to do it. And I hope my coworkers don't tune in yet. They probably won't, because they don't do new things. I've noticed that about Portland people. But like, I haven't found anybody that I'd be like, you would not make a good co-host. You know, like you got to live up to like, just because you want to be on the show doesn't mean you're going to be on the show. You know, like we were award winning. I know what I'm capable of, you know, like no offense to whatever, but like, you know, a lot of people aren't interesting, man. And a lot of people don't know things about stuff. And that's why I was like making the show. I was like, man, I should just talk to people, you know, like the conversations I try to talk to people about, you know, I should just have them one way directional. That way you're working right now, right? I'm hoping you're working or driving or whatever you're doing. You're using me to keep you awake or just and keep you entertained, just to catch up, you know? Yeah, man, it's designed. This podcast is designed so you can, you know, not get in trouble at work. You don't want someone. There's a lot of podcasts and stuff like that, dude. Like, man, you don't got to be obnoxious. Like, that's not the 1930s and shit, and, you know. I don't know. It's different. I like little subtle jokes here and there and stuff like that. But like, I do like to like have or talk, pass information that's like interesting, you know, and a lot of people don't have interesting shit to say, bro. I've ran into a lot of people that, you know, just say phrases, you know, like I know in Houston, there was always like these two or three sentences people would say before they would start saying anything of substance. Like, hey, I'll introduce a upcoming rapper or something. Like, hey, such and such is here. All right, man, you already know what it is. This is your boy. And then, like, you didn't say anything. I mean, you did. I don't know who this is. You're an upcoming artist. I don't, like, you know, I don't know why the upcoming artists say that you already knew who it is. Like, no, we don't. This is your fucking debut. You should be like, hi, my name is, like, Slim Shady. That, I think, is that why he hit so hard? Because he didn't come out and, like, he tried a different style. He was on, wasn't he like on Adderall or something when he made Slim Shady? That's probably what he was thinking too. All right, the same concept I'm thinking of bitching up right now. Like, why did nobody knows who I'm brand new? I need to be like, hi, my name is, you know, and then that's what he did, because all you guys probably, he was probably on the zone high as shit like I am right now. And it was just like, why are you saying that? I don't know. That was the one thing I hated about upcoming artists. It was just like, you already know who it is. Like, no, I don't. I know who this established person is. You know, like Slim Thug can say it, but not you. Lil Maria, you know, or whoever it was that was coming up. I don't know. I just think like some self-awareness. You know, if I wanted to launch my music career, I don't think I would be confident enough to be like, you already know who it is. I'll be like, what's up, guys? Remember me from... I try to like coast off my shit that I've done before. Remember me from the like the Marines and stuff, and that one time I saved the President Bush. Remember? Try to coast off of your resume. I wouldn't be like, you already know who it is. Can you imagine going to a job interview? Hi, can you introduce yourself? You already know who it is. It's your boy, Jose Ramirez. You know, like, what? Who introduces themselves like that? Like, you understand, just because you're an artist doesn't mean like your words are magical and shit. Like, it's still, I don't know, dude. Artists are weird. I know, because I am one now. And I'm like, everyone has their own shit. So I've seen like a lot of people, all these artists, they're like, have some kind of pain or something. So even my chicks, I was like, hey, are you going to deal with like your parents' stuff? Your childhood trauma? I was like, oh no, hell no. It's going to come out through art somehow. This might be it. I don't know. I'm an artist, so this is my art. Me ranting. So working at a dispensary compared to buying drugs from a drug dealer, it's very different. Like the customer service in drug dealer world doesn't really exist. And it's weird because I know that life is still out there. Like, I know if I go to Texas right now, I have to go buy drugs from a dealer. There are no dispensaries. There's like some little pop-up shop type stuff going on right now too. I don't know what that's about, but like, I'm not trying to buy from there. I'd rather just, you know, that's too much attention, you know? It's like going and gambling at a illegal gambling thing, because you can't gamble in Texas. Like, dude, just go gamble in Vegas. What are you doing? You know, that's what I'm doing here with the weed, though. So working at the dispensary, we really got to worry about like customer service. I don't know what's up with fucking old people, but they're like rude as shit. Like the really old people, like in their 90s and stuff, like the people that are about to kick it, bro, are the rudest customers, dog. They're just pissed off that everyone's moving to Portland and shit like that. I got some one guy, like, especially with COVID and stuff. Like, I get it. Like, maybe you don't want us to touch your ID or something like that. But you don't understand how many times I got screamed at, like, no, no. You know, because they don't want me to grab their ID to like look at it, but they won't let me scan it. Like, some IDs we got to scan to verify them. And I guess people think like, oh, I'm just looking, like, no, dude, I got to put your information down. Like, you gotta type it up, your name, birthday, and state. Like I can't make shit up. If we get audited, someone comes, like, how come this person's not here? He's gotta track the people while they're in there. as soon as you buy your shit, it deletes off the computer. But while you're there, it has to be accurate just in case they come and audit us. And then if we're not doing, like, anybody that comes as a customer inside the dispensary has to be 21 years old, you know, so they got to be checked no matter what. If you're not 21, you got to get out. You can't even be in there. You know, I think like some weird stuff. There's some of the patients can be 19, 18. You can have a medical card, but you still got to be accompanied by like someone that's 21. So like they come in, well, I'm a medical patient. Like, yeah, but you're not 21. I'm a medical patient. Like, yeah, you could be here, but like someone 21 still has to come with you. And those rules are applied at your own discretion by each dispensary too. So like the dispensaries don't have the same rules. Like some people, they're like, no, this is within the rules. This is, but people don't know until they get audited, you know? And we know when people fuck up because it's kind of fucked up, dude. Whenever you get your permit, you have to like sign up with the system so that you have your email. And when they do these audits, like some like secret shopper will come to the dispensary, and if you fail, they send an email out to everybody. Everybody that has a permit gets an email saying, this person fucked up at this dispensary at this time, and this is what happened, and this is their fine. And, you know, there's tens of thousands of dollars, dude, if you don't follow the rules. So I know some people are like, why do I gotta do this? And I was like, bro, I'm not paying thousands of dollars just because you want to just give me your shit. If not, then have a good day. It's very easy, dude. You know, there's no guns in your face. It's not me maybe up all night from meth to coke or whatever the fuck I've been, you know, like the troubles that people go with to go buy weed in Texas don't even exist over here. And people act like assholes over here. You know, I'm like, bro, do you understand what's going on here? Like, your life isn't in danger. You're paying taxes. You're helping the community. You know, and you're getting to select from probably like the best weed in the planet, honestly. You know, the freshest. Not trying to sit here and like jerk off the weed via compliments, but like it is pretty good, bro. Like, it was enough for me to move. I know I live in Washington, and I don't like buying in Washington because it's vacuum sealed. They do the old switcheroo on you where the display is like nice and green. And I'm like, I want that one. It's in a jar, so you can't smell it. You're just going off of looks, right? But then when they give it to you, it's like not the same batch. So it's like, I think there was one that I like a sativa called Green Crack, right? Gets you pretty hyper. Feels like you're on drugs. So I like that strain. So one time I saw it, it's really green, and this is in the Washington side, and it's, you know, it's prepackaged. So I'm like, whatever, I just don't want to drive. It's a little bit cheaper, whatever. And then I got it. And then what I got, you know, I didn't get the display. They like, okay, here's your order. They go to the back and they get your order ready. Then you come pick it up like Olive Garden. They give you like a little, those little discs that light up at Olive Garden. They have those at some dispensaries, and when your order's ready, it goes off. You come pick it up, pay for it. Yo, I look at the weed. It's brown as shit, dude. It was browner than me. And I was like, yo, I looked. I'm like, no, they got the wrong weed. I looked. It was the same strain, same farm. It was like a year old. I was like, oh, damn. You got me. I got. And that doesn't happen on the Oregon side. So it sounds bougie, but it's like, okay, well, if I moved here, why would I buy the shit stuff where there's better stuff for like same price or cheaper across the border? And it was going between states, you know? Plus I just usually, okay, so the rules here, you can't smoke outside, quote unquote, but everybody does it. Like, I know on traffic jams, and the freeway and stuff, all the cars, you see the little chimneys, smoke coming out from every car. Every car has fucking smoke coming out of it. Everyone's smoking up here. It's like not the taboo with cannabis that's in the South. Like, ooh, the devil's lettuce. That is literally the name of a brand up here. The devil's lettuce. Pre-roll joints. You know, so it's different. They embrace it over here. Again, it's like different people. You got to understand that, like, in the South is very Christian. From what I think, after like moving around, I kind of understand what happened in America. I feel like the Christian, you know, people came to America. The East Coast was first, and everyone was, you know, evading, coming to like not pay taxes and shit like that, and be able to, you know, evade religious persecution or whatever they said they told us. So I felt like some people still didn't like, yo, I still don't want to be around Mormons or whatever was back there, you Presbyterians, Pescatarians or whatever, you know. And so they came to the South, or they went to the West, and then like the people in Texas just kind of like, ah, we'll just stay here, fuck it, you know. But the people that came to like California, they were here for gold. The people that came to Oregon, which I didn't know this, was like an all-white state at one point. It was like a horrible background to Oregon, which was Mexico at one point or some shit. So I don't know how that happened. But yeah, Oregon tried to join the union as like, hey, this is an all-white state. No Mexicans and blacks can own property. And I think that's why they're super like, oh my God, you guys cannot fend for yourselves. And we're really extra protesty here because of the history, I think. You know, they're trying to be like, no. Nike's here. You know, Adidas headquarters here. I don't know if that says anything. I don't think so. But I think that's why the culture is very pro extreme left side, which I don't really, you know, with politics, dude, I'm 39. Ex-conspiracy theorist. I'm getting paid by the government. I'm under government pay now. So like, I can't tell you guys like I used to before, like, hey, if you didn't listen to that Univision UFO interview, like I can't repeat it. I'm not gonna give up my funds, you know. Like if you pay me more than they do, then fuck yeah, I'll tell you whatever. But you know, they're paying me, so Jesus is real to me right now, you know. Aliens, Jesus, just go to church, bro, because that's what they did to me when I did to the interview. So it's payback time. Like, hey, Amaya, remember when you came on the radio and the UFO, like, I think I just saw something. And now I'm just going to respond with like, you know what I saw, brother? Jesus missing from your life. Let us pray. Because I'm petty. Petty LaBelle. Yeah. Revenge is cool, bro. I don't know who taught you. Like, it's not. It's pretty cool. Pretty self-fulfilling. You know, it's like, I win battles, not wars, you know? So like, yeah, I could win a battle here and there. I'll take it. And so, yeah, I can't really say anything about all the conspiracy stuff. So I'm like, I'm on the government side now. I'm on government pay. So when it comes to politics and stuff like that, I really don't want to lose it. So I'm just like, man, I've seen so many people that have had like, they're kicked out of their schools just for being stupid. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not trying to do that. So I'll talk about myself. I'll make fun of myself for you guys. But like, and then I kind of have that attitude being up here because I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Like, it's weird to me that people idolize political parties to the point it's like tribal. Like, you don't belong to other stuff. So you're like, I'm a Republican. Now I'm red is my color and these are my people, you know? And then, you know, it's like blue versus, it's like, it feels like American Gladiators, blue versus red, you know? that's weird to me. And like, I refuse to partake in it. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I'm trying to make money, bro. I'm like a merchant. I need to, what do you need? I'm an artist now. I got to sell my art. So like, I could be like an activist, I guess, but like, I don't care. I need to make money. I'm a business hippie. I understand the concept of supply and demand, you know? So like, it's a little bit different here for me. And I try to fit in. So anyways, I feel like the people that ended up coming up here to Portland Oregon area, the Pacific Northwest, where like people are trying to get away from, like, they're just like, fuck that, fuck. Like, it's like it's the farthest you can get away and like be in a different landscape, but still be in America. Like when the first time I came here, it didn't feel like America to me. It felt like Europe-ish with dollars and weed was legal. It feels different up here, especially with like being able to be high all the time. That's pretty cool. So I think the people that come to Portland are maybe not the best at their craft, but boy, are they going to try hard. I'm going to try hard. I don't know if I'm the best. I don't really, it sounds so Portland-ish. I know where I'm from, I'm like, no, I gotta be number one. There's just like this crab bucket mentality. But to me, it's like, man, I just want to make enough to make ends meet, dude. It'd be cool to be able to do this for a living. I don't got to ball out. I don't got to be a millionaire. You know, Shiba Inu goes to a dollar. That'll take care of that on its own. If not, then it's cool. I just want to like not be homeless. That's my goal, to not be homeless. That's so sad, the expectations, you know. Not be homeless and support my kids. That's my goal right there. And other than that, I really don't give a fuck about other stuff anymore. Like at what point do you not get like the government? It's like the same people on both sides. Like they just divide us and, you know, we're fighting each other, but we're funding them. Both of us. That's so fucked up. They're making us fight each other, but we're the ones paying for all the shit that they do. Like we pay, like, I don't know. That's I don't want to. I got other stuff to worry about besides what MAGA hat you have on or, you know, Antifa. I don't care, dude. I'm cool with you. I judge you. You don't like weed? Okay, I do care. Fuck you. You misinformed jerk. You know, that's what I care about. But you dude, like, was raised Christian and I work with quote unquote witches. I don't think they're witches. I just think they have tattoos everywhere, you know, but you know, so I ask them all the time, like, what spell did you learn today? They never learned a spell. I have not heard one spell, but you know, that's just me. I question things, you know, but I don't care. That was my point here. And the being high all the time, the cannabis helps not giving a fuck either. And every time I started to get mad, I'm like, you know what? I'm not Texas, and Texas, like, why am I trying to act or have the Texas morals? Texas right now, like, they don't have cannabis. It's legal. So why am I trying to be like that? Like, obviously I left for a reason. So I'm trying to fit in wherever I'm at, and I'm not trying to like change things because things are pretty cool. We've gotten a little bit worse since I've been here, but like, you know, overall they've been okay. So dispensary life, man, it's a little bit different. It's retail. It's nicer. I'm trying to convince the dispensary I work at that to let me record so I could get like a little reality show going for you guys. So you guys can see like the first world problems that we have. It's hilarious. I don't know if you guys seen Amish Mafia. It reminds me of that a lot. It's like there's just YouTube Amish Mafia and just see the drama. And that's like the stuff that happens at the dispensary. Like, you know, in Houston, drug dealers are like, you know, turf wars, guns, running from the cops. And over here, we're arguing because somebody texts everybody that they didn't clean the jars all the way to please do a better job next time. So somebody got pissed off about that, you know, started a big old argument, lasted a couple of days, which is still a sensitive topic to this day. You know, and that's the level of difference. It's hilarious to me. I laugh. I smile all the time, dude. If someone gets mad and crunk, I'm like, if we were in Houston, this is crazy. That's fine. Sure. Throw your tantrum. You know. All right. Well, you guys, thanks for tuning in. We're going to cut this up here kind of close. Hopefully you guys learned a little bit about the dispensaries. Up here in Oregon, kind of how they run, as well as learning the background behind or the effects for the Royal Feast strain that is we took right before we started doing this. So if I was going to give it a rating, I would say compared to the, you know, it's not that talkative. It does make you forget a little bit of where you're going with the speech. You know what I'm saying? But the Royal Feast, I mean, it smokes pretty good. I think it's more of an indica. It's a little bit body relaxing. I felt myself calmer. Like I was sitting down and I wasn't all fidgety and stuff like that. I was in the zone a little bit more. I did forget a couple times, you know, a little bit forgetful, but not as bad as yesterday's. Didn't ramble too much. The other one I felt like a little bit more active. This was more of a chill type of vibe. So Royal Feast, guys, that was it. Thanks for participating in this scientific study, fellow scientists, you know. Catch you guys on the next one. Make sure to check us out. We're going to put some links with the episode here so that way you guys can go to the store, buy some merch for us, you know, support the show and stuff like that. So thanks for listening, guys. Catch you next time.